Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh my gosh. I asked Linda to let me do this part because I am just so, so blessed. I have been so blessed by all of you. And it's so many people have put their hearts and hands into this to make it happen. And my WOW worship leaders, Faith, Alpha, Shirley is going to do this week. Becky, who got snowed out but said yes anyway. Cheryl, who's not here today. And who did I miss? Valerie. And Valerie's not here today. And they jumped in. What did you say you want me to do? So good. So sweet. And so you blessed us. Thank you for that. Donna and Josh in the back. Donna's been running the slides. Oh my gosh. Donna has been so patient teaching me how to do this and putting up with me and my last minute changes. Thank you. And Josh makes you be able to hear me. He is the techie, knows his stuff. So couldn't do it without them. So thankful. Emergency response. We've had a nice quiet one, but they've been here keeping an eye on you the whole time. Kelly and Karen setting up coffee and helping me set up the tables and the pretty stuff. Well, the guys, the R&R guys and Carl do the tables and the chairs. We just do the pretty stuff. And the church staff make all the copies and put up with me and make more copies when we need more copies. And then all of you who help clean up afterwards and all of you who gave us a shot at this, who said, this sounds really different. I don't know. This looks a lot different, but I'm going to give it a try. And you came and you kept coming. And I'm so thankful you have blessed me so much by this. So thank you. Now, Shirley, will you lead us in prayer and worship? Pretty please.
Can you hear me now? Yes. Okay. Shall we pray? Dear Lord and Savior, we thank you for the privilege we have to serve you. We are so humbled. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Thank you for all these wonderful Christian women here in Prescott. Make us a blessing. Let us represent you in a way that is an example to all we meet. Thank you for WOW, where we can look to you and learn more about you. We are honored to be your missionaries. In Jesus' name, amen. I have my friend, a talent that I found here in WOW. Her name is Ellen, and I'm just blessed to have her with me. We wanted to sing it as a duet today. We have two songs. The first one is Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us, and we probably all know that from about 50 years ago. And then there's another one in Shady Green Pastures. We'll only sing that one, the first verse, twice. Okay? Did I get the right one? Is that this one? Okay.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For thy use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou hast bought us
this one here.
In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children.
Have the same color hair as I do, so I thought you would. Okay, I think. Thank you, ladies. I couldn't get those notes.
I just love that you turned it into a duet. That's kind of how this session has gone. We get to be flexible and we make it work. I wasn't sure what it would look like on week one. By week three, I think I had a rhythm. So. We're getting it. Okay. If you didn't get a chance on page 35 sometime today, of course not while I'm teaching, but there's a personalized spot where you can fill in your name and make Psalm 23 personalized, and it's really powerful. Okay, so today, like Linda said, it's the icing on the cake. It's the World Series, because Casey made me this super cool shirt, and we're a baseball family, not a football family, so it's the World Series. And I'm just not sure I'm ready to let you go. It's been so fun. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for every single sheep you brought into this fold. Thank you that you call us sheep and that you shepherd us and lead us everywhere we go. Open our hearts and minds to hear you anew today, to see each verse, see something new, something a little different than we saw last time. And help us tuck this deep into our hearts as you lead us into whatever comes next. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So, the finale. So, I had it all kind of figured out. I just copy-pasted a bunch of slides. And what did God do? He said, you know, that'd be kind of boring. And that's not really what I had in mind for you to do. Did I push something on accident? No. Okay. So, it's going to be fun. I'm super excited. He always makes good changes. So, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Seems like a long time ago we did that. It's Psalm 23 is up close and personal. It's a passage about you and your shepherd today, right here, right now. It's not an old, like we said before, it's not an old funeral verse. It's not a dusty part of your Bible. And can't look at that picture. Can't you just feel those arms wrapped tight around you? That's what he wants for you. Can you hear his whispers in your heart? Are they a little clearer now than they were 8 weeks ago? I hope so. We've spent 7 weeks tuning our hearts to hear those whispers. And I pray that they have now become conversations with your Lord, leading you to deeper understanding. And I hope you stay hungry for more. On your table is our words from week to, are our words. So this was super fun. I had them just typed out from Cheryl. Thank you for the whiteboard. Helen and Cheryl, thank you for running my mics around. So I just had a list. It was about a page and a half. And when I went to Texas to visit my daughter, she goes, "Oh, Mom, there's a really cool app you could spit it into, and then it would create art." Well, of course, it didn't work for me, so I did it by myself. But didn't this turn out pretty? So all of the words that are stronger, bolder, were used more than once. So they're emphasized because you said them more than once. And so this has been so fun. The office made a few extra copies for us, so if you need more for a friend, there's some in the back too, or on your table, or if there's an extra bookmark, take them home, please. The office who printed them for us loved it so much they made little ones that they're going to use for postcards and things. So our words are going to travel and expand and grow everywhere. Isn't that fun? I just love that. I know. So the Lord is constant, just, merciful, forgiving, loving, still, unconditional, sovereign, consoling, gracious, steadfast, happy. You can do it with me. I am ageless, true, trustworthy, the way. The Lord is my Father, peace, physician, author, friend, shield, song, shade, keeper, potter, everything, quiet, faithful, savior, staff, protector, light, rescuer, deliverer, healer, strength, redeemer, forgiver, counselor, Jireh, salvation, guide, teacher, stronghold, desire, rock, joy, Lord, forgiver, friend, heart's desire, confident, refuge, guide, shade, companion, shelter, comfort, overseer, seer, crier, king, solace, warrior, comforter, fortress, emphasizer, mourning, hope, transcendent authority, inspiration, tour guide, confident, redeemer, promise keeper, educator, mentor, miracle maker, provider, navigator, soloist, refiner, healer, source, laughter, Elroy, sanctuary, intercessor, soloist, Alpha Omega, creator, warmth, and shepherd. And I bet you have a few more now. So yeah, keep that, tuck that away. That just turned into be such a fun thing. Remember Cheryl writing sideways? We had so many on the whiteboard. I had so much putting that together. These 7 weeks, we have learned to accept and embrace that we are sheep. You're my sheeple. You'll always be my sheeple. Allowing us to exhale all of our trying to get it all right, striving, trying to be perfect, trying to be who God didn't make us to be. Surrender and trust and just follow your shepherd. As I spent time a couple weekends ago with my young grandkids, the ones in Texas, was super fun. And you watch them grow, and being a grandma is so fun. And you're so patient, and it's easy to be patient, right? Because they're trying, they're learning, they're just babies. They're 1 and 3 years old. So he just had his third birthday. And it gave me kind of a new gift of seeing the words God uses for us. He calls us his sheep. He doesn't expect us to be fancy. He doesn't expect us to get it right all the time. Sheep are dumb little critters. He calls us his children. And I look at my grandchildren and I go, wow, you know, I love them like nothing else. And that's what he calls us. And I don't punish them when they fall because they're trying to learn to walk. I'm not impatient that they're getting messy or that they're flaying. That's how God sees us. Let that soak in. He calls us his sheep, his children, his beloved. He is patiently leading us, guiding us through life. One step, one season, one valley, one path at a time. His words bring comfort, not striving or self-reliance. We are cared for, cared about, and we are safe with our shepherd. As I gazed at my family, I can see my eyes and my smile in my daughter. I knew that. But I can now see it in my granddaughter. She looks like me. So when God looks at us, does he see himself? He should. I hope so. Do we take the time to see him in others? Every person, the ones we love, the ones we cherish, the ones that rub us wrong, the ones we don't know, are made in the image and likeness of God. Every single one of them. I shall not want. We talked a lot about this. Yeah, right? If you chase Jesus as hard as you chase the things you think you want, you will end up with more than you ever need. I had started just going to go through all the same slides, and this is one of the ones when God's, this is about in the talk when God said, you know, that's kind of boring, and they've already done that. So yeah, this weekend was fun. It was good. It's much better. So, isn't he cute? I know. I love the slide. I love doing the slides. Don't miss the packaging. Remember Jennifer's teaching on that? Such, so powerful. Remember her son was ill, and because he was ill, they found a more serious illness that saved his life? Well, the same is for us. The little picture says, Lord, let every small joy remind me you are near. The little butterflies, the caterpillars, the sunrise. Oh my gosh, the sunrise this morning. So beautiful. God gives us just what we need, just when we need it. But it doesn't usually look the way we thought, or when we think we're going to get it, or when we want to get it, or how we expect it. But it's what we need. And to me, that's what that verse means the most. We shall not want, because he knows what we need. We don't. Elijah learned that God was not in the wind. He was not in the earthquake. He was not in the fire. He was in the still, gentle whisper in 1 Kings. There will be storms, and when it feels like your lives are being shaken, yet when we lift our eyes and look for him in the little small ways, we realize we've been stepping over the manna that he's been providing for us. What we need doesn't often look like what we think it should. So look for him and what he is giving you in it. Even if the circumstance isn't your favorite thing you've ever done, he's in it, and there's something for you in that cup. Don't miss it. Don't step over the manna. Make sure I'm supposed to click. All our words from verse 1. Powerful words. We've read a lot of them already. So verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Remember, it's personal. He's not saying he leads somebody, those people. It's me. It's all of you. He makes me lie down. God is the one doing the making. He is in authority. He knows best. He makes me. He doesn't force us or punish us, but rather guides us to our own good. He knows what we need. He knows when we need to lie down. When we obey and follow, we can find rest instead of striving. The world says we need more, faster. That's not what God says. I shared on week one how my plans changed in a moment. I was a preschool teacher. I knew everything I was going to do. I was so happy I was going to do it till my knees gave out. And in obeying, God shifted things. And I didn't go along smoothly for quite a while. But then he dropped this in my lap, this teaching. And oh my gosh, I never could have imagined 7 years later, this is what I would be doing. And if I would have fought that laying down, because boy, he made me lay down, I wouldn't be here. And oh, this has been such a blessing. And his fingerprints have been all over the 7 years. Don't be afraid of the lying down. What he is doing and when he is doing it, he is leading you. So we talked about my story. I didn't click fast enough. But I went from that to this. That's okay. Now you're just my little preschool sheep. Our green pastures. They're living. They bring life. Nourishment. They're a safe place to rest, to experience his peace and everything that he planned for us in that moment, in that season. What makes us feel most alive? There'll be different for everyone. We shared a lot of how we green pasture that week. And some people green pasture by exercising, some by resting, you know, reading. It's singing, all the different ways. God made you. He knows you best, so he knows how you rest best and how he can nourish you best. Green pastures are where distractions fade and God's voice becomes clearer. It's a time for him to restore you, for you to grow still and lean in, focusing on what your shepherd is leading you to or through. Don't fight him. Signs we might need a green pasture. Are you stuck in a cycle of complaining, bitterness, stress, striving to get it all done, all in? That to-do list. Who wrote that to-do list? Are you so tired you can't sleep, you can't think? Can't get your mind to stop and rest? Might mean God's trying to get your attention, that you need some green pasture time. Remember my daughter Tessa's stories about the pebbles. First, he drops pebbles on your head. And then if you don't pay attention, you get the brick. And if you still don't pay attention, you get the house. I got them all that year. Believe me, I got them all. I'm learning to look for the pebbles. What are your pebbles? What might he be using to try to get your attention? He doesn't just give up on us. He keeps trying to get our attention. It's easier if you pay attention to the pebbles, believe me. He leads us. He leads me. He is God, of course. He leads. He doesn't drive us like a rancher with a whip. Nope, that's not what he's doing. He's in front, just calling his little sheep. Come on, come on. Like Gracie Joy. Come on, come on. Following Jesus doesn't mean we don't have questions. It just means we know who to ask. Let him set the path. He knows where we're going. We don't. He knows the destination he wants for us. I didn't know the path would lead here. He did. And so I had to take the steps and follow him to get here and not stay stuck in what I wanted and couldn't have. He knows how fast we need to go. Some people can get there faster. It took me 7 years. I needed a slower pace, evidently. But we are safe as he guides us. Our still waters. God's waters are crystal clear, refreshing, calm, nourishing, quenching, and peaceful. Pay attention to what is stirring up your waters. Are you sitting by that tree? Or are you on one of those rocks? Sometimes it's our circumstances and we just have to learn to trust in him and the water's raging around us, but we can be calm. Or is it our stressing because we need to get everything just right, be in control of everything, that we're not in control of anything? Let it go. Let it go. And let God choose and lead you into a life of peace that nourishes your soul. Doesn't weaken it, stress it. If you're feeling those pebbles, your water's not quiet. Let's see if I'm on the right page. So, verse 2, words, good words. You guys did so good helping us come up with lots of words through this whole study. Yes, I needed this page. One of my favorite weeks. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember we talked about kintsugi. 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 I had it written down. Kintsugi. The Japanese art of mending pottery by mixing gold or silver into the lacquer that they use to mend something. Remember we talked about Ethel May. Let's see, I saw her right there. Who fell off the table in just a bunch of pieces. And so I kind of kintsugi'd her. Well, God does that for us. Remember... Sorry. I'm just a real deal, right? A mess. He specializes in taking the broken places of our lives and infusing them with his love and forgiveness and mercy. He can use those to cultivate a new testimony in you, which will draw others to him and his love. I just love that picture. And then adding, our scars are proof we have a past. And then Dee reminded us, our scarves are proof that healing has begun. And Jesus' scars are proof that we have a future. Isn't that a beautiful thought? So restore. Restore means to bring back. But in God's hands, it's less about returning us to the way we were, which is good, usually. And more about becoming who we'll be. God uses our hurts and our bent dreams to strengthen us, to grow us, and to teach us, preparing us for what's next, for new adventures, for new callings, for a deeper faith. And if we surrender, obey, and follow, our next will always be good because he's in it. and it's his plan. It's surprising, and it's not usually what we thought it would be, but it's good, and it will bless us and others, and it will point them to Jesus. What is our soul? Remember we talked about our nephesh, the Hebrew word for soul in this verse, he restores our soul, is translated as soul, breath, life, heart, and mind. So the souls, our innermost being, are actually the very breath of God within us. So take care of that. We talked about not living faster than our soul. Don't live faster than your soul can go. The world says more, more, faster, faster. There is no Sabbath. There is no rest. You're being lazy. You know, what did you do today? What do you do? Who, you know, no, that's not the way God created us to be. This devotional dropped in my lap on Monday morning, but it was so good, and Donna was so patient and let me stick it in. It gives such framework to this sacred rhythm of not going faster. So she uses the word acronym SLOW. And it's stop. It's find peace. Allow stillness to settle in your mind and body. L is listen. Not to your notifications on your phone. Not to the what's on the news or everybody screaming at you from every direction. But to the gentle voice of God. Observe. Stop and look. See God. Because he's there. He's in the little moments. He's in the big moments. He's in the sunrises. He's in just driving. I'll look up and go, oh my. I think I shared, maybe not in this class, I was at Starbucks, one of my happy places. And I was having a hard day on my way to Phoenix to see mom and dad. And I look up. I'm learning to just look up for even just a second. And there was a cross right above the tree. And it was like, ha, I've been to this drive-thru on 69 a million times. How did I not see a cross? And it was just as clear and as bright, and it just dug into my soul. And I drove past, and it was just a lamppost and another sign that had lined up just perfectly at just that moment. Now, who did that? Right? Look up. Look for him. Every day when I'm feeling the weight of the world, feeling the weight of the day, if I just take a breath and look up, I will see something. And it's always just beautiful. A mountain, we are in the most beautiful place on the earth. Prescott, the mountains, the pine trees, the everything is just look up. Look up. And then worship. Not always just through music, but through attention, gratitude, and surrender. Abide. Sit at his feet. If you just slow, how long would that take? 3 seconds? Go through the whole thing? 5 minutes? Reset your brain. Reset your soul. It helps. This was the most beautiful devotion. Paths. We talked about all the wonderful paths in Prescott and all of the adventures you all have gone on. I'm so impressed. remember that in this verse, paths is plural. There's an S. I didn't see that for the longest time. Some of our paths will be smooth and easy, and some will be a little harder to walk. It's not so much the difficulty of the path. It's about the destination, where he's leading us, and the posture of our heart. Are we grumbling and complaining as we climb the stairs? Probably. My knees aren't too good anymore. But wow, the view at the top. You know, there's something in it for him. Or there's something from him in it for us. So stay the course. Keep going. Keep watching. Keep following. He's leading us somewhere. We know the final destination. But there's something in it every day. So what if we don't stay on the path? What if we go off into the weeds? What if we go astray? You know what's coming. But I found a new one. Does Jesus stand back and shrug? Oh, I tried. I've moved Jessica over and over. I don't need to do it again. No, he doesn't. He chases us through the mud over and over every day. He rescues us. He picks us up out of that mud that we made, the mess that we made again. And he carries us against his heart, where he needs to be, and puts our little feet back on the path he wants us on. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. These simple little verses, so deep. God gets personal in the valleys, remember? It changes from to first person in the valleys. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God can use our valleys to move us from knowing about him to a personal relationship with him. They're not fun. We don't want to be there. But, oh, with him, we'll get through. And they're temporary. Remember Jennifer's three valleys? Yeah. The Valley of Baca. The Valley of Weeping. And the solution is to surrender and be honest with God and keep going. The Valley of Elah, the battle. David and Goliath is in that, I believe, that battle. You have to know who the real enemy is. Remember, we're not picking at each other. Who's the real enemy? Satan, he's real. He's there. He does not want us on the sweet path. He wants us fighting each other, fighting everything. And the remedy is to fight harder? No. It's to stand still, because the battle is the Lord's, not ours. The Valley of Achor, wrestling with sin and shame. Rather than trying to fix it ourselves or escape, we surrender. We surrender it all over. Yes, we made the mud. Yes, we did it. He's still chasing us. He's still pursuing us. Just surrender it all to him and receive the hope and rest that he is offering, the healing, the restoring, and then become a door of hope for others. We don't have to fight these battles on our own, in our own strength. And it's recognizing that the tools that God gives us are that matter. David didn't fight the Goliath. Remember, the king offered David his armor, the king's armor, fancy, fancy. He put it on. It was too big. It was too heavy. He said, no, I can't do it like this. And he picked his rocks. He went to the stream and picked his rocks. And everybody laughed at him. Well, your armor is going to be different than someone else's. Your battles are going to be different than someone else's. So comparing and trying to fight your battle the way someone else is fighting theirs isn't going to work. You have to wear the armor God gives you, fight with the tools he gives you. We can't hurry our battles along. We can't change them. We can't avoid them. But we can choose how we view them. We can stay stuck. We can get bitter, focusing on lack. Or we can surrender and embrace and do the work that God is, see the work that God is doing in us. God will never, ever send you where his presence will not go with you. Ever. every valley, every step, every good thing, every hard thing, he is right there with you. And that changes everything. When you surrender, oh, this was good. When you surrender and replace, why is this happening to me, with, Lord, what are you showing me? Your perspective shifts toward hope. Isn't that powerful? He showed me lots of new things between those weeks and this week, which I just love. And then remember, in some form, do not fear, fear not, shall not fear, is in Scripture 365 times, one for every day. He does not want us afraid. That is not a fruit of the Spirit, right? In a form, and remember, the word remember is in Scripture 8,670 times. Do you think he wants to remember? Us to remember? He wants us to remember all he has done for us in the past, all he has done through Scripture. Those ordinary everyday people in Scripture have walked through some pretty yucky stuff. David was a wreck, and he was a moaning, groaning complainer. But he was a man after God's own heart, and God used him. Remember what he has done in the past. How has he walked you through a valley in the past? How has he brought you here today? How did you get here today? Who brought you? Who shoved you? Who drug you? Who whispered? Good stuff, right? I remember this was one of the first things I did when we moved. Yeah. Remember his promises, vision, and presence. Let them anchor your faith. Pause and sit at the feet of Jesus. Be still and look for the good. Hear his whispers in your heart. Turn your heart to gratitude. If you're in the mud, the best thing you can do is go, okay, it's not hot. I'm cool. I'm in the mud. Okay. It's not smelly. It's not that kind of mud. There are good things in everything. And we talked about it being like M&Ms, snowballs. You look for the good. You look for grateful. You'll find another one. Oh, there's another one. Oh, well, yeah, there's shade. I'm under the tree. Okay. And it just changes your heart. It changes your focus. You're still in the mud. It didn't change your circumstances. But you get to choose. You get to choose. And you're in the mud less. If you choose well, lift prayers of praise, even in the hardest times. Let his peace and joy fill you once again, drop by drop. Praising and thanking God for the smallest light in the darkness shifts our hearts, lightens our steps, and kind of stops that downward spiral we were in. Circumstances don't change, but our attitudes can. Someday when you turn the page to the story you're in the mud or the valley, no matter how it was resolved, because it doesn't usually finish the way we thought it would, we will remember how God walked us through it and the little blessings he gave us, how he grew us. And we will see the unexpected path he was carving through that valley for us. This is my unexpected path. I did not expect to be here. But it is good. We don't get here in our own strength. Not at all. David says that your rod and your staff comfort me. Remember, the rod is the little club that the shepherd keeps beating the wolf with until he drops you. He's not a passive shepherd. And the staff is to guide us back on the path, get out of the mud, go this way. And then if we fall into a crevice, he can hook us and pull us out. Powerful thing. We don't usually carry these around. I drag it back and forth, but not that much. But God has given us our own armor, our own rods and staff. in the armor of God. Each morning, get some time in the Word. Pull out your sword and armor up. It matters. When I'm preparing for this, on the days I forget, and I'm partway through, I'm like, what the heck is happening? And I'm like, oh, I forgot. And I'll do it. Okay. But it's so powerful, ladies. It's in Scripture for a reason, and it matters. That enemy is at you. He's following you. He's roaring around like a lion. And you have our own tools. We have Scripture, like Jesus did in the wilderness, and you have the armor of God. This is not just an old, dusty Scripture. This is powerful in Ephesians 6. And again, I don't go in the order because I can't remember that. I put it on. And I do it in my closet as I'm getting dressed. I put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and it's a piece that covers the front and the back. The belt of truth, God's truth alone. I put my feet into the shoes of readiness in the gospel of peace, and I lift the shield of faith to block everything that enemy is going to throw at me today. And then I wield the sword of the Spirit, His word. His powerful, mighty word that cuts through lies. Put it on every day because that snake can't get through. Those whispers can't get through that helmet. It matters. I'd look silly doing it. It matters. Yea, though I walk through the valley. We've covered that part. Of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is our comfort. Verse 5. Oh, I love this verse. This was, if you didn't make it to the snow, this was the snow day. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. I love this verse. This is one of my favorites. God invites us. This is His dinner party. He invites us. It's His table. He provides everything we need. He's got the food, the wine, the flowers, the daily bread, the living water. At His table is love, forgiveness, protection, peace, abundance, and joy. At God's table, you are chosen. You are invited. You are enough. God's table brings people together, and it is a place where everyone is welcome. Our tables tell a story. This was my trip. So it was Owen's birthday, and he got a brand new playhouse, their first little playhouse outside. And so Beth sent me this a couple days after I had gotten home, and I thought, oh, that's going in my table lesson. So our tables tell a story. Even if it's a new playhouse, and spaghetti on a table made from a box. It's a place where we gather and celebrate. It's a place where we share joy. From ordinary paper plates and pizza days to large celebrations. And it's a place where we gather in God's word. My table is sewing projects, craft projects, Bible studies. Most all of this is done sitting at my table that I showed John that week. Good stuff. God's table. In Scripture, His table symbolizes provision, protection, favor, blessings, and His presence. It represents feasts, celebrations, abundance, blessings of food, wealth, and family. have more pages this week. So, if you weren't here, this beautiful thing. So, I learned a lesson at WOW, and I shared it with my daughter Beth when she was in college. And a friend of her painted this painting for her, representing this lesson. So, I'm going to back you up just a second. Oh, I can actually do that, can I? Okay, God's table. Too important. It serves as a place of communion, covenant, and intimate connection with God and believers. Jesus washed the disciples' feet around a table. The Last Supper and the First Communion were at a table. And we are blessed to come to the communion table every week. So tables matter in Scripture. God uses them quite a bit. So this lesson, we continually set our table, our plans, what we want our life to look like, where we want to live, how we want to live, the way we want our life to go. And then we politely invite God, come sit at my table, my plans. Let's do it this way. Well, that's that little table in the front with that one little chair. But God has prepared his table, his plans that he has for you, the way he wants your life to look, the blessings he has in store for you. And he is sitting there waiting for you to sit at his table to receive all that he has for you. So stop asking God to sit at our little empty table, because his plans don't look like ours. But they're bigger, better, more wonderful, more beautiful. Didn't Tyler do just a beautiful job doing this? Sit at his table and humbly receive the abundant life he is offering you. Choose which table you want to sit at. In the presence of my enemies, God invites us. He does not invite the enemy. We're the one that keeps putting a chair out for him and letting him get into our minds, get into our heads. Louis Giglio says it best, so I'm just going to read his. And don't invite the enemy to your table. He has a beautiful lesson on it. He says, inviting the enemy to your table means letting his lies, fear, shame, doubt, and negativity shape your thinking and identity. Choose who sits at your table. We can't control everything, but we can control which voices we listen to. Letting the enemy sit means believing his narrative. Refusing him means aligning your thinking with God's truth. So reclaim your table, guard your thoughts, reject lies quickly, and replace them with Scripture. Pull out your sword. Choose faith over fear and turn over negative self-talk. The enemy's favorite tool are half-truths. He loves to put just enough truth in something you might believe it. Well, ladies, a half-truth is still a whole lie. And don't listen to him, okay? Don't invite him at your table. Don't. God's plans are so much better. Who fights our battles for us? I love this quote by A.W. Tozer. It is not the sheep that Satan fears. He's not afraid of us. But the presence of the shepherd. We're that little tiny baby sheep in his arms. Does Jesus look afraid of those wolves? No. You anoint my head with oil. Don't you just, if you were here that week, remember the visual of the chunk of coconut oil on Jennifer's head? and how anointing, that's what it would mean if you came at a Hebrew table and sat down. They would put that on your head, and it would, as it warmed, it would just run and drip down their beard and down their face. That's how we should live. Full of joy and God's love running and dripping off our faces. I love that little sheep too. My cup runs over. I love the word saturated. We're going to be like a sponge. So completely full, you can't carry it to the sink without it dripping and leaking all over the floor. Been there, right? Well, that's what I want you to be. I want you to be overflowing like that sponge, leaking and dripping Jesus everywhere you go. Kindness, love. It doesn't take any effort, and you've got it. He filled your sponge. And don't bring a little old Dixie cup to God's table. Remember? Bring a big gulp. Bring a venti. Hold it up high. And let him saturate you with his presence. And remember, there's free refills at God's table. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. These are such good words. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This one's pretty fresh in your memory. We just did it last week. But remember, it's not passive. This verse is active. We take a part in this. It's an action word. Follow is an action word. Goodness and mercy are chasing you and pursuing you. Not just once, not just once upon a time, but every single morning. Remember, she said, she's up, she's up. They're going to follow, they're going to follow. That's what my little dog Gracie Joy does. His mercies are new and ready and fresh to chase you every morning. A clean start. Oh, baby giggles. Good gracious. Those are goodness. Those are goodness, goodness. Good job, Santi. Perfect timing. I trained him to do that. Jesus is offering us undeserved, can't be earned. We can't work harder for it, strive faster to get it. Forgiveness, kindness, and love. So slow down and get caught. Let Jesus catch you. He's running, chasing, pursuing. So I couldn't not bring Pigpen back. He's too fun. We can't change our past, and shame builds a wall, keeping others out and trapping us in. But repentance washes us clean. God will use it to grow us to who he wants us to be right now in this very moment. He uses it, and he uses it to open a door of hope for others. So don't wear that. You don't need to wear that. Don't see Jesus as a standoff, distant God, Savior. He is chasing you through the mud. This picture just changed so much of how I viewed this verse. And this was just last spring. But it came at such an important time in my life to realize, I told you before, I never really cared for the verse of he left the 99 to chase the one, because I'm a good girl at heart. I'm always following the rules. I'm always trying to do it right. And I thought, well, gosh, you know, what about me? He just left me with all the rest of them? Man, it didn't take long to realize that's me. And Casey's shirt, I have to show you. Here's the lost sheep. She's so good. We are that lost lamb. We are that dirty, filthy. We did it again. And he loves us anyway. He loves us. He cleans us. He picks us up. He chases us. Feel that God. He's not a judgmental, old, irrelevant history. He's an active right now in this room, whispering to someone right now, I'm here. I'm coming for you in a good way. Let this change how you see yourself and your loving, personal, intimate, up close Savior. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Represents a state of dwelling in God's care, just like what that looks like. Protection, fellowship. It's not just a physical building, it's a promise. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Only when I'm good, only when I've did what I'm supposed to do, only when I go to church, only when I, all the days of my life. His mercies are new every morning. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever has already begun. A lifelong, uninterrupted, and enduring presence in the Lord's house. That's a beautiful thought. But you are dwelling in his house right now. This whole world is his sanctuary, and all of creation praises him. And wherever we gather together and worship him and study his word, becomes sacred. We're experiencing God's presence right now. Not just for the future. This isn't a, oh, someday. This is right now. It's offered to you every day. But we truly aren't home yet. So keep following, keep walking, keep looking, keep listening for Jesus. Turn the volume of the world down. Remember, it's loud and ugly. Tune your ears and eyes to hear God's word and his truth first thing in the morning. It's a neurological thing that the first thing you do in the morning kind of embeds and into the new neurons in your brain that you're growing during the night while you're asleep. And the first thing that those new baby neurons experience, they take a hold of. So, do you want it to be the news? Do you want it to be, I don't know, an argument you had with somebody on your phone last night and you're going to revisit it, marinate on it? Or do you want to start in God's word, God's whispers? Whatever you plant in there first thing in the morning, you'll find, if it's a song, it'll bubble back up. Oh, yeah, there's that song again. Somebody said that to me this morning, that they were singing of a sheep song. That's what we want. Remember, slow. Stop and still your heart and mind. When you feel like things are spiraling, just S, stop. L, listen for God's whispers. Observe, lift, look up, find that cross in the tree. It shouldn't be there. And worship by just being still at his feet. So what do we want to leave behind? You have your goodness grabbers on the table. Underneath your our words for God. Linda Parrish was so kind to write them all down feverishly and type them up for me, for us. So I got a chance to use one of these. Oh my gosh, it was so fun. So probably Friday, I was at Walmart, and a gentleman had his basket and everything, and I'm trying to get around him. And he comes up, he goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry, am I in your way?" And I said, "No, you're fine." And he goes, "Oh, I might have been 20 years ago, but now it's debatable." And I thought, you know, and I thought, oh, and I went, oh, I said, "You're on the precipice of awesomeness." It was so fun. And it was just, his response was really cool. Let's see what I said. It stops, and then I found myself all day looking for a chance to use it again. I mean, who talks like that? We can. You know, we don't have to be, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm okay." You know, or "I'm fine." Remember, frustrated, impatient, neurotic, and emotional. No. You know, it shifts things. And I tell you, I've used that one about 3 times, precipice of awesomeness. You know, it's when you're trying to say it fast, you trip all over precipice. That one's just, but so fun. So, and you learn how to spell it. I know, because I was texting it to somebody and I had to go, "Oh yeah, it's all C's, no S's." Yeah. So use those. You look for chances to just not be ordinary like everybody. But not only how you leave a conversation or encounter with others, what do you want to leave tucked into your heart and carry with you from our time together? Don't just pick up your things and walk out of here today unchanged. I pray that this time with your shepherd has changed you, changed who you are, changed how you see this verse forever, and how you will walk the next path God puts you on. Like this old truck leaking oil, let this loud, bitter world know you were here. Leave this room leaking Jesus everywhere you go, shining his light and his joy, his peace, his love. Change this world one drop at a time. So we're going to do our last table time. And you've got your sheets on the table. And I would like you to, as a group, pick 3 top takeaways. I know that'd be a little tricky, but you'll have lots in your workbook to grow. And then how has Psalm 23 changed for you? How do you view it has changed? Are we getting close? Just a few more minutes. Thank you. All right, ladies, let's finish up. Finish up. All right. All right, ladies, let's hear what you thought. Cheryl, Helen. Yeah. Do a different table first. Thank you. Okay. Let's hear what you thought. So your three takeaways from your table and, you know, what changed on Psalm 23 or whatever works. All right, Helen. Stand up and stick that microphone right up against your face, clear to please.
Our takeaways here are, first one was, Jesus always chases us. We really like that. It seems to...
Closer.
Closer? Is that better?
Yes.
Well, thank you. Hides my face. Jesus always chases us, and that seems to suit each one of us. We always feel that he's always there, and it's a good, comforting feeling. And number two for us, I will not ask for anything today. I will give thanks for everything.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Another goodness grabber.
And the third one, Dee said, and we all agreed with her, God is our pacemaker. He makes us slow down and think about things and really kind of, he controls how we deal with things, and that we work through him rather than through ourselves.
Oh, I like that.
And the view of how Psalm 23 has, how we have changed our view of Psalm 23, it's not just for funerals. It's a guide for life. So if you hear it at a funeral, just remember, this is how I should live my life from now on.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Nice. Okay, Cheryl? Pam?
Good morning. Our table was in consensus that we have really appreciated this whole session. And the visuals were instrumental in kind of collectively letting us know what all 6-7 verses were all about.
Oh, good.
We just think of the visuals. Good. So we thought that was great. And then some of the top three takeaways, the joy of sharing and learning the 23rd Psalm more deeply and together.
Yes.
We really liked each other's thoughts and comments. Also, another takeaway was, by accepting full reliance, it leads us to peace. Mm-hmm. By accepting full reliance. And then our scars create a new testimony, or our mess gives us a new message.
Oh, nice.
And then our view of the 23rd Psalm, how has it changed us? It gave us a much more in-depth understanding, and we're just grateful that God has opened our eyes to see verses anew. Mm-hmm. And his past performances have proven his faithfulness.
Yes. I love how well you all have worked together through this very strange new first hour thing. It's just been so fun.
Right up to my mouth. Okay. Jessica referenced this book, the William Philip Keller book.
Jennifer referenced it. Yeah. Yeah.
Jennifer. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Well, I know.
I'm going to give you the credit.
That's okay.
So there was something in that. It says, live ever aware of God's presence, his gracious Holy Spirit within us, and move in harmony. Mm. Kind of to sum up the whole session. Number two, the breath of God is in us. Mm-hmm. Number three, we are in the never-ending pursuit from God. And how you view the 23rd Psalm has changed. It has deepened our understanding of how God cares for us in all circumstances, and the enemy is not invited to God's table.
Good, good, excellent, good. Okay. Donna.
Well, we pretty much are saying everything that you're all saying. Our three top takeaways were stop, look, and listen. And then secondly, look for Jesus and look for God. He's chasing us, so let him catch us.
Yeah.
And the third was uninvite the devil to our table.
Yeah.
And our view of Psalm 23 has changed to make it an everyday psalm. Pray it daily.
Nice, nice. That word chase is the Hebrew word for follow. So it's in Scripture. We just read it wrong. Mary.
Hello. This morning, I...
In your face.
In my face. This morning I started to... I had time. I was up early, as usual. And so I started doing the takeaways from this last chapter. And so I started, and the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. When my eyes are on him, I do not want. And the next one I read, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When my eyes are on him, he makes me lie down. So for me, I'm a simple person. The whole thing is when my eyes are on him.
Yeah.
And then I don't have to remember so many words.
Isn't that good when our eyes are on him? Yeah, yeah.
The second was taking the verses and making it personal. The third, if you had to pick one passage to direct your life, this is a really good one.
Nice, nice, yeah.
And how your view of Psalm 23 changed for all of us. It was not a funeral verse anymore, mm-hmm. but
yes.
Something to be used daily.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. You can read it at my funeral because this is going to stay with me. But yeah, no, it means so much more.
Okay. These lovely ladies came up with three themes as our takeaways. The table theme, which I'll explain, the mountain and the valley, and then the sheep. And so what we think of the...
You bunch of teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With themes, thematic units.
Yeah.
Remember those? So the Martha and Mary, image, trying not to be so much the Martha, but abiding like the Mary. The empty table... painting seen as allow God to fill the table, not try to fill it ourselves with, beautiful mm-hmm. candles and plateware and, the perfectionists in us that want to entertain and make it so pretty, but let God fill the table with his presence, and it's his filling is better than ours. the mountain and the valley... concept. I don't know if y'all know Brendan Lake, but he has this amazing song called Graves to Gardens, and one of the verses says the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. So it's he's there both, the mountaintop experiences and down low. He's there through all of that. And that the shadows in the valleys, the shadows have light. You wouldn't have the shadows without light. So you can, when you're in the shadow and in the depths, you can see the light and let God, and focus on those goodness grabbers and things. And then the sheep theme, the sheep in the mud. We're so hard on ourselves, we tend to let that mud stick with us mm-hmm. later on and be guilty or embarrassed about things that have happened in the past, not letting it go, letting God take all of the mud off of us. We're perfectionists. That's like I had shared before. God is with us in the mud. He trods through it. He doesn't just pull us out right away. He's with us in the mud and, you know, going through it with us, like his road to the cross. I mean, there's nothing worse than that kind of mud, you know, blood and mud. And then our takeaway, our view changing is, again, the empty table, turning it into a full table. And not just for the departed, but the chapter is not just for the departed, but for those left behind. It's for both. And then also shared at the very end, our if we fill our lives, I should have shared that with the table. If we fill our lives with stuff and things and busyness, then there isn't, and the table filled with things, there isn't time to let God fill our table and fill our cup.
Nice. Sherry.
Do we really only have to do three? Only three?
Best three. I like that. Best three.
Okay. It was just the two of us, so it wasn't too hard. Keep your face to the light, and the shadows will fall behind. Our scars are proof we are healing. Stop trying to live faster than your soul can go. Boy, that's me. And recognize what God is using to get our attention. And how our view of Psalm 23 has changed us. Just like everybody else, we recognize it's not a funeral verse, but it talks about our relationship with God right now and how we're constantly being pursued and protected by him.
Nice. Faith.
Sorry, I was trying to write that last one. She wrote, recognize what God is using to get our attention. That's amazing. Okay, so ours is, I shall not want because God will provide everything I need. The next is, we are the lost lambs that he's chasing, and he is still chasing us daily. Mm-hmm. And then, the one we all loved is that it turns out we're not part of the 99. We are the one he's chasing.
Yeah.
Kept thinking that, you know, there was a level of sin, and if we stayed below the bad ones, we were in the 99.
No, we're in the mud.
Not true. And then, of course, Psalm 23 will forever not be the funeral psalm anymore. Yeah.
Love it. Alpha.
Okay, so we agreed with all of you. So isn't it wonderful? We're all in agreement on something. But one thing we did point out was listening for God's voice. There's so many voices, you know, chatting at us during the day. And so we just have to really tune all that out and listen for God's voice. And then Laura said, really find that time when you're just still with the Lord. And when you just, it's just you and the Lord, and it's just your, just that very special time. And I wanted to share with you, if you have, if you like music and you like a devotional, if you text the word SING, S-I-N-G, to 79316. So that's the word SING.
79316.
79316. Monday through Friday, you will get a devotional that's all music.
Wow.
And it's Shane and Shane, and they are gospel. They're a gospel group, and they bring songs to you. This morning was a song I'd never heard of. But they give you a little backstory. There's three or four of them in the group. They pray with you, and they give you this song, and you sing this song with them, and it is just the most blessed time.
So another way to start your day.
Start your day.
Yeah. So text the word SING to 71396.
No. Seven.
Song.
No. 79316. And you just text the word SING.
SING.
S-I-N-G.
SING. Okay. Sing. Awesome. This is so cool. Where are we at? Linda.
We only ended up doing one takeaway, but it's kind of long. So anybody else who wants to take up the, you know, three or five, you can take ours. Because our takeaway, we just kept talking. God's word is always very personal and individual and is written just for you. And the example was verse 2, can be taking the green pastures as a gift to slow down and be at peace. And verse 2, for me, was a time when I ignored the messages to slow down, and he maketh me to lie down in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And that God's word is living, active, and for us every day. Yeah. It is no longer just seen as a funeral psalm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I just thought of a P.S. When I, a long time ago, I talked about my pet lamb and how stupid it was. Well, I looked it up, and sheep are not stupid. I was very surprised. They can remember other sheep, and they can remember their shepherd for a really long time. They can pick that shepherd out from other shepherds.
Well, and they only respond to his voice when he calls them by name, actual sheep, not yeah. just when
other,
Jesus calls
other
them.
Yeah. Shepherds can call them, they'll ignore
them. It won't matter. Mm-hmm.
But if it's that shepherd, yeah. they know the voice and they come. So you can look at that as a good
nice.
A
so
good
we
thing.
Need to make
so
sure we know his
we
voice.
We can be smart sheep. We yes. don't have to be dumb sheep.
Okay.
One more thing. I wore my UFCA shirt, and I told you before that UFCA can stand for anything. Today it stands for our wonderful leader through this and the great job she's done for us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All him. All him. Nancy, what you got for us, Nancy?
Okay, it's just the two of us, Tara and I. Okay, so mine was don't be afraid of lying down.
Yeah.
Because we are.
Yeah.
And
who,
yesterday
who just had
I
their
didn't
knee down?
Lie down and I should have laid down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, God, I got it.
Yeah.
The other one is only when I acknowledge Jesus' love for me can I embrace it wholly and change my life forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then for both of us, the takeaway is what people have said, but it's no longer the death verse.
Mm-hmm.
It is the encouraging, supportive, God loves us verse.
Yeah. Isn't it?
And thank you
yeah.
for explaining the table in front of my enemies, because I never understood that.
Yeah, yeah. That one took me a bit, so I hear you. Over here. The precipice of awesomeness table. What you got?
That was one of our tables.
I know. Oh, good. Up, right up in your face.
Oh, sorry. God knows I need visual aids. Pebbles, bricks
yeah.
on the head.
You gotta get
so,
it.
So, sorry.
If it hears too loud, you're doing it right.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. So, living in the desert nearly all of my life, I needed a visual of a green pasture. And years and years ago, my husband and I went to a golf course called Cloudcroft in New Mexico. And it is about 8,000 feet in the air. It was built in the 1700s. And it is so green because there are clouds filling it. And all I kept thinking of was green pastures to me means God's provision,
mm-hmm.
that he gives us moisture, he gives us food, he gives us. And when you're in the middle of a golf course where there's clouds everywhere, there's moisture everywhere, and the mud is very prevalent.
Ah.
So I needed all of that in order to hone in on what God has brought to my heart
nice.
Through all of this. And somebody else said how personalized this has become for them. Even without the personalization mm-hmm. moment. And of course, the like everybody else, not a funeral, but an everyday awesomeness.
Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Where are we at over here? In the back.
I think we may be the last one, so.
No, I got
oh,
some in the
one
middle.
More over here. Anyway, personal was something that we really keyed on to.
Yeah.
Being in relationship with God through Jesus is personal.
Yes.
And so what do you do when you have a problem? You go to talk to somebody, you know, be it a best friend, your husband, maybe your mom, your daughter. But we need to remember to go to God first. Yeah. And so that was our takeaway. And then also, I think the table over there said, have gratitude, you know, rather than asking for things first, start with being thankful for what you already have. And then use that attitude of gratitude to be a light to others.
Yes.
And how Psalm 23, or my view of Psalm, or our view of Psalm 23 changed is that we want to read all scripture through the lens of God speaking to us personally.
Yes.
And then for me, last week when we talked about all of God's names in Psalm 23, the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha,
yes.
that was really amazing.
Wasn't that powerful?
To me. Yes, I love that. And then just to something personal I had written at home, just about Bible study in general. My takeaway is you can never get enough of studying God's word. There are always nuances and meanings that you might not have caught before. And as your life stage changes, the same words may take on a richer meaning. And
beautiful.
So I really appreciate WOW and other Bible studies I've been in. So thank you.
So every time you study the word, it's going to be just like this. If you listen to the whispers and, you know, I write down, oh, that word means chase. This word means this. And then the next time my pastor will talk on it or something, he'll add something else. And it just gets layers and layers and layers and deeper and deeper. So, yes, look through your whole Bible with this lens of there's more in it for me. Get hungry for that more. Good. Helen. Oh, nope, we're right here. Sorry. Jamie.
Hi, ladies. Jamie Davis here.
Right in your face.
Our first takeaway, and many of you used it, was this isn't a funeral verse anymore. But it was more like the green pastures are calming and blessing, and you're not at the top and you're not rushing. You're kind of soothing down there.
Yeah.
Our second was it become more personal, like a big hug from Jesus. It wasn't so personal before.
I like that.
And in verse 4, it changed from me to I, which was a lot more personal than that really kind of stuck out to us. And he's pursuing us. We didn't realize how much he was pursuing us in verse 23, or Psalm 23. And our takeaway was the whole thing had a much more positive meaning than we thought. We kind of were stuck in that script of the funeral on the back of the little obituary you got when you went to the old funeral homes.
Yeah.
So those days are gone. It's very positive. So thank
excellent.
You.
I'm glad. Helen.
Our first one, what are your tabletop three takeaways? Were you can set your day by your first thoughts. And we were thinking about before you get out of bed, let your thoughts turn to the Lord.
Yes.
And then another one made it very personal. Sit still. The path can feel wrong, but stay on the path because it's God's path. It's right.
Yeah.
In righteousness. Yeah. And how has your view of Psalm 23 changed? Jesus has secured a place at God's table for me. That it offers so much more, so much comfort. And it's okay to be talking to God at 3 in the morning.
Yes.
When we try to get back to sleep.
I think that's when my mind finally goes quiet enough for him to get through. So, yes. Helen.
We had 3 takeaways. The first one was green pastures bring life and nourishment. And one at our table said, you know, it's really nice to get permission to slow down.
Yes.
Meditate and just rest in those green pastures. Another takeaway was, what is God trying to show me as a sheep with him as my shepherd? Yeah. And the one person mentioned their view of Psalm 23 changed in that she really realized that he's always there for me. Mm-hmm. When I'm in the mud, he never leaves, and he leads me. He leads me even to right people. Yes. That's what you were saying. And sometimes those people might be very different from us, but mm-hmm. they often blossom into the greatest blessings. It's kind of like your idea of let God fill the table with the people that, and the sheep.
Just like these tables.
Yeah.
Yep. He filled them.
Yeah. He gave me a Shirley.
Yeah.
And now I'm waiting for a goodness and a mercy.
There you go. There you go. I love it. I love that. Clever, clever, clever.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you all hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, we had a little bit of fun at our table on the first one, and Kathy York, who had to leave, was telling us a story about her granddaughter, I believe she's 11 or 12 years old, was studying this very same, you know, about the shepherd and the sheep. And Kathy asked her, well, what did you learn? She goes, sheep are really dumb. So we decided it's okay to be a sheep. It's okay to be dumb as a sheep.
Yeah, yeah.
Our next one is Forever Has Already Begun. Mm-hmm. And then Don't Live Faster Than Your Soul Can Go. Mm-hmm. Just short and sweet, but that's what we got. As far as Psalms 23, how it's changed us, we're just all very humbled by the presence of our shepherd in all things. And lastly, we want to thank you, Jessica, for bringing all of this to us, because it's been a wonderful experience.
Thank you. It's
thank
been
you
such
much.
A pleasure. Yes. No. 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 Oh, see my twin.
We're twins.
We're twins. We're twins. We had a lot of, it was hard to have just three takeaways, but Delisa came up with, it gave me permission to be a little messy and with Jesus patiently finding me and cleaning me up. Mm-hmm. And then Carol came up with the names of God, and each of the lines of Psalm 23 on page 31 was really great to hear those. Number three, sheep need a shepherd. We need a leader. Mm-hmm. And then the take that we had, the view, I am the one of the sheep. That was the one I was like, that is so true. Because I was the same way. I'm like, wait a minute. Why are they leaving me behind?
Yeah.
So I get that. And then to be more aware that God is cleansing me, his goodness and mercy are following me all the way. And then Barbara came up, but, you know, it was required memory verse. Now, with all of the study of the words, it has become personal.
Nice.
So. And then I love Jennifer's laugh, her little giggle, and then we love Jessica's joy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You know, the worst thing we can do to ourselves is try to be perfect and try to get it all right, because that's not in the Bible anywhere. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. Be real. Be real. Be who God created you to be first.
Well, first we have four things, but I just do bullet points, so it'll be quick.
Okay.
The first was stop running, let Jesus catch me. The second is God, I can't, you can, please do.
Yes.
That was one that Cindy had written down on your book and had forgotten about originally.
Yes.
The third is change my attitude when I'm in the valleys. Mm-hmm. And number four, I am Jesus' little lamb, it is written upon my hand. Or upon, in his hand, I'm sorry.
Yes, our is name written, is on his is, hand.
Thank you.
Yes.
And just like this table, we just said it really personalized Psalm 23 for us. We could make it our own.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm so, so glad to hear that. Did we get everybody? Right here. Okay. Linda? Let's hear.
Well, most everything that we came up with has already been said. A couple little differences. For our takeaways, be still and know you are not God.
That was a goodness grabber. That was a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows best.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid. If you can't sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have tried this a lot. However, I don't always get the verses in the right order, but he knows what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. or asking him or so forth. And the last one, Jesus' scars are proof we have a future.
Yes. Yeah, God dropped that, I think, Thursday.
Now, as far as how has her view changed, again, it's no longer a funeral passage, but it's become something that you can rely on every day. It's very reassuring. And then another, the last one was regarding verse 5, preparing a table before him, us. Myrna had brought up the fact that Jesus used a table a lot of times to do his teachings, mm-hmm. such as the Last Supper, communion, and I believe he was at a dinner party and he had used that. So setting a table before us is more than just food. It's food for your soul.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Good. Sue.
All righty. We have...
Right up in your face, love.
We have a lot of the same, but here we go.
You're not close enough.
Okay. Here we go. The first one for our takeaway is our shepherd is steadfast, our provider. The second one was our shepherd is active. Mm-hmm. Our third one, he soaks our head with his blessings and refills our cup as he prepares for our cup overflowing and eventually being in heaven. Yes. Our view of Psalm 23, we all are the sheep and very personal. It's how we see our life with our shepherd leading us every day. And I, like everybody else, hate to see this end. Jessica, you've been amazing. And I don't remember who sang I Am Jesus' Little Lamb a while back.
Linda Parrish.
Okay. So.
Well, yeah. So many references.
Yes, but that song, and you talk about, you know, Psalm 23, funeral verse, mm-hmm. whatever. For me, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb, I learned when I was tiny. Mm-hmm. And I still sing this to my grandchildren at night, and they're all above 21. But
grandmas get to do anything they want.
I am Jesus' little lamb, ever glad at heart I am. If you think about ever glad at heart, I am. I am the sheep, and he is the I am.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you, ladies. Wait. I'm not done. I got just a tiny bit of wrap up. I couldn't let you go quite without my little sheep. So remember our little white sheep and our black sheep. So dare to be who you say you are. This comes way back from the Truth Project. When we talked about it last week, if you're convicted of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to find you guilty? If we say we're a Christian, act like one. You should be happy. You should be full of joy and not finger-pointing so much. In a world of battling and bad-mouthing everyone and everything, dare to stand on God's truth in love, rejoicing always, letting your gentleness be the evidence that the Lord is near, rather than yelling. Wisdom comes through humility, prayer, and praise. So be kind, be salt, light, peace, and joy. And I want us to read Psalm 23 one more time together. It's in the back of your front cover because the words got really small when I tried to put it all on. Back of the front cover is the whole thing. The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, this is the end of this session. April 8th, spring session starts. We go back to our regularly scheduled programming, 9 o'clock and all of that. It's going to be amazing. Join us. You're going to hear from 8 different ladies, some new voices, some favorites, and you're stuck with me once again as I share God's power in surrender and a different chapter of my story. So, let me pray us out. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We are thankful that we were permitted, allowed, and blessed to spend 8 weeks studying one passage. Let it embed deep in our hearts and souls. Let us carry it with us through our whole life and be forever changed. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And ladies, how do we say thank you to Jessica for blessing us?
Thank you. Thank
you. You have blessed us all, and we are just so grateful and thankful. And we saw God, Jesus, shining through you. What an example.
Thank you, my dear.
We love you.
Thank you.
Have a very blessed Easter, everyone. We'll see you in about a month.